Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, the 17th of June. Coming up today, we'll hear how drones are being used to deliver drugs into a Kent prison. We've also got some pretty startling statistics about the impacts of loneliness. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a yoga instructor says new charges brought in for anyone wanting to hold classes on a beach in Thanet will cripple her small business. Millie Bowles has been covering this story for the podcast. She's got some more details for us. First of all, Millie, what can you tell us about Angela Bryce Stevenson's business?
So Angela runs yoga classes at 6 and 7am in small groups on West Bay in Westgate-on-Sea, and she charges £5 per person for the sessions, and she's been doing that since 2017.
And what do we know about these charges? Why have council brought them in, and where will the money generated be spent?
So Thanet District Council brought in the charges as part of a pilot scheme trying to encourage concessions and businesses on the district's beaches. But existing businesses, such as yoga instructors, have been looped into this, and they come under fitness and leisure. And the council has said that the annual charge for using the beach, that's for the summer season, is £700. And then there is a £380 legal fee on top of that. And the council have not responded yet to our request for comment, but we have spoken to a Conservative councillor, Rhys Pugh, who said he understands the need for the council to cover their own costs and legal fees, clean up and that kind of thing. But he called the price for just yoga lessons on the beach crazy, and said they're obviously very non-invasive. You know, they're not leaving big piles of litter behind. They're doing it early in the morning.
And now, how is all this going to impact on Angela's business and other small businesses that use the beaches?
So for Angela, she says her business isn't a big money-making scheme, and she does it sort of out of the goodness of her heart, not to make loads of money. And she wants to promote, you know, well-being and mindfulness and that kind of thing. So £1,000 a season will just not be viable for her. She won't be able to do these early morning beach sessions, which she and, you know, her customers really enjoy.
Now, I think a lot of people believe beaches are public land, but as you've explained in the story at Kent Online, that's not quite the case. Can you tell us a little bit about the public use of beaches?
So, yeah, the ownership of beaches is a bit tricky. I think a lot of people think they're kind of public land that anyone can go on at any time, and there's a kind of right to roam on them. In Scotland, there is a right to roam law, but in England and Wales, all of the coastline is owned by default by the Crown Estate. And then the Crown has given away a large portion of that to local authorities to look after, and some's also sold to private landlords. But that means that the council then has powers to put in enforcement action, such as there's PSPOs in so many beaches for keeping dogs on leads, or they're not allowed at certain times or certain times of year. And that means that the council can put those in and enforce them on their beaches.
Thanks, Millie. We've started a poll at Kent Online to see what you think. So far, 73% of people agree the fees should be scrapped. Click on the story at Kent Online to cast your vote.
Kent Online News.
A Thanet teacher who sent inappropriate messages to a pupil and offered to supply them drugs has been banned from the profession. Shane Lysett used to be head of computing at Dane Court Grammar in Broadstairs. A misconduct panel's heard the 39-year-old had admitted to having a ketamine addiction and accepted he'd failed to maintain appropriate professional boundaries. A driver who died when his lorry overturned on the M20 slip road near Ashford has been named. 63-year-old Dimitar Todorov was travelling on the coastbound exit at Junction 9 when the HGV left the carriageway on June 5th. No other vehicles were involved. An inquest has heard how the cause of the crash is yet to be determined. A woman suffered cuts, burns and grazes after being pushed out of a moving van in Tunbridge Wells. It happened on Saturday night near an entrance to Dunorland Park. Police say the victim and suspect were known to each other, but a search is still underway for the man responsible. Now, a damning report into a Kent prison has found staff are struggling to stop illicit drugs getting into the site. Inspectors carried out two unannounced visits to HMP Elmley on Sheppey and found more than 6 in 10 inmates felt unsafe during their time there. Angus Jones is from His Majesty's Inspectorate of Prisons. He's been chatting to Lucy.
A lot of prisoners on the random drug testing were testing positive for drugs, and the site wasn't carrying out enough suspicion tests when it had intelligence of prisoners who may or may not be under the influence or taking drugs. So a bit of a weakness there in their own processes. But We found that many of the grills over the windows that should protect against drone and other ingress routes were compromised. So essentially they had holes in them or they'd been bent out of shape so that prisoners could use sticks and other devices to hook packages off drones and bring them into the prison. And put bluntly, there wasn't a proper or an adequate response to this. So the issue is ongoing. And now we think that the problem needs several approaches to stop it. But certainly one of them is the boring fixing of windows, checking internal security and carrying out drug tests, as well as trying to work out a more long-term solution about how to stop the drones coming into the prison in the first place.
And what sort of drugs, Angus, are they taking? Because we've heard of spice being a particular problem in prisons before, and that obviously leads to further issues in itself. Do we know what they were getting hold of?
They were getting hold of any drugs that they could pay for. So the drones are only limited by weight. So whatever was ordered was brought in. And as I said, the prison authorities had a limited response to stopping this problem. And given the number of windows that they had compromised and the fact that all prisons have limited staffing overnight and at certain points of the day, it was very difficult for them to prevent this issue coming into the establishment.
And we also heard from your report that an awful lot of prisoners didn't feel particularly safe at Elmley. That must be a real concern to you as well.
Yeah, and these issues are linked. So prisoners don't feel safe in prisons that are where they don't feel that the staff are in control of the big issues. And at this site, drugs were a big issue and the prison weren't able to stop that. And drugs in and of themselves are a bad thing, but they create debt because people generally can't afford all of the drugs that they buy. And that debt is often enforced with things like violence. And that's why these prisoners will be feeling unsafe. And linked to this problem, Elmley is a prison that didn't have enough activity. Now, you may see that those things aren't particularly linked, but broadly speaking, if people are in activity and occupied, they are less likely to be taking drugs. So there's two ways of stopping this. You stop the supply coming in, or you work on the demand. And one of the ways of working on the demand is giving prisoners something more productive to do with their time. And that was another weakness at Elmley.
Now, we've been told work is being carried out to tackle some of the issues raised in the report. We spoke to Andrea Coomer from the Howard League about what needs to change.
The problem with drugs in this prison, but across the estate, and this is a growing problem across all prisons, is one of supply. And I think we talk about supply quite a lot. We talk about the ingress of drones into prison, and this is often organised crime. And it's a numbers game. They just throw as many drones as they can into prison, and some of them get through. In other jails, it's throwovers. In many jails, it's corrupt staff bringing in drugs. We talk about that a lot. And obviously, there needs to be intelligence-led ways to stop that, because that is all criminal activity that destabilises prison regimes. But we also have to think about what leads to the demand for drugs in prison. And when you have a jail like this, where there are people in this jail who are expecting to be out of their cell in the worst cases for an hour and a half a day, you know, what really are they left to do in that time? You know, people become idle, they become depressed. We all know that drugs are often used to mask depression and anxiety. And so we need to turn these places into healthy places where people don't want to use drugs. And we know from looking across the estate that there are other jails that are also Cat B, Cat C jails, like Elmley, where that is possible. But there needs to be focus on why people would want to use drugs as much as there is on how the drugs get in.
And is that something as simple as providing more activities for inmates to be involved with, educational pathways and things like that?
Any of those things. Yeah, giving people something purposeful to do with their time, something meaningful, something that connects them to a sense of self-worth, that gives them skills, whether that's education, vocational training, ways of giving back to their communities, all of those things. They're all the things that give people a sense of purpose and worth that mean that they stay away from harmful practices like drug taking. I mean, it's just the same as in the community. These are exactly the same kind of triggers that people have, except we're putting people into prisons and we're denying them all of those things. And we're holding them in dreadful conditions for far too long. On hot days like this, I do think of people in prison a lot, because every time I go, in fact, I'm in a prison all day tomorrow, it is going to be stifling, you know, in the jail for the day. I'm not looking forward to it. I'm trying to work out what I'm going to wear. You know, these are stressful, unpleasant places. And I get to visit for a day, but staff have to go there every day. And the prisoners are obviously there in some cases for decades. So there are lots of different factors that play into why people, you know, can be helped and supported to help have prison turn their life around.
The Ministry of Justice say they've reintroduced mandatory drug testing and will replace grills over windows to stop items being smuggled in.
Kent Online News.
A security guard has been left with serious injuries after being attacked at a Kent supermarket. He's said to have been hit in the face with a beer can after trying to stop two suspected shoplifters at Sainsbury's in Staplehurst earlier this month. A 17-year-old boy has admitted multiple charges and will be sentenced next month. An 18-year-old man is also due in court in July. Four teenage boys have been arrested following a police chase near Dartford. A vehicle was spotted by officers on the Knockhall Road area of Greenhithe yesterday morning. It was followed to Leonard Avenue in Swanscombe, where the suspects were detained on suspicion of burglary offences. A car has overturned after crashing into a garden wall near Folkestone. Emergency crews were called to Cheriton High Street opposite the BP petrol station yesterday evening. It's understood no one was injured.
Kent Online News.
Two independent special needs schools in Kent are set to close as bosses say they're no longer financially viable. Parents have been told the numbers of pupils going to both Cornfield School in Ashford and Bellevue School in Cranbrook has fallen. They'll both close next month. Elsewhere, fresh concerns have been raised about the impact a VAT hike on private schools could have on state pupils in Kent. 13,000 children have reportedly left private education across the country since Labor introduced new taxes 6 months ago. It's feared it'll put more pressure on places for secondary schools, especially at grammars in the county. A group representing lorry drivers has welcomed news the government's putting £500 million into the Lower Thames Crossing. It means work will be able to start on the road link between Kent and Essex. Natalie Chapman is from Logistics UK in Tunbridge Wells.
The money that's been pledged today is just a small part of the overall costs of the Lower Thames Crossing, and what we hope is that it will then start to attract some private finance, which will pay for the bulk of the construction costs. There will inevitably be some disruption whilst that is ongoing, and we will work at Logistics UK with National Highways to keep that disruption to a minimum. But the long-term benefit of this crossing will be really significant, not just for those of us who live and work here in the southeast, but it's a vital trading route for goods travelling to and from the continent to the Midlands and beyond.
And do you think, Natalie, because last time we spoke, it was about private investment, do you think there will be interest for people wanting to get involved in this project?
Well, this scheme, unlike many other road schemes, will carry a road user charge. I know that many will not be happy to hear that, but it will be very similar to the Dartford crossing. And that, of course, does mean that there's an ongoing revenue stream. So that makes it much more attractive for private finance. Of course, what we do need to make sure is once the new crossing is open and once those tolls are live, that they are kept to a reasonable level, because there's an inherent transport cost in everything that we buy. And if we're charging trucks too much, then we will end up all paying for it in the prices on the shelves.
Have you got any idea as to what those charges could be yet? Or is that something to be decided well into the future?
Well, we understand that those charges will be sort of mirrored to the same level as the Dartford crossing. So we don't expect to see them significantly higher, but obviously they will be readjusted for inflationary purposes, because it's going to be a few years until we see the crossing open. But we just need to make sure that it is at a reasonable charge level.
And just finally, for anyone who's perhaps new to this, although I'm sure they have heard about it by now, why was this particular part of Kent chosen for the crossing? Why does that make sense for it to go from Gravesend over to Tilbury?
Well, there were a few options originally put forward for a new Lower Thames crossing. One option was to put more capacity at Dartford itself. Now, there'll be two huge issues with that. One, we'd have years of hell at what's already a very congested part of the network. But what it wouldn't have done is provided additional resilience, because we wouldn't have an alternative route. The great thing with the Lower Thames crossing is we'll not only have that additional capacity that we need, but we'll have an alternative route. So when things go wrong, as they inevitably do at the Dartford crossing, there's somewhere else for trucks to go and for general traffic to go as well. At the moment, if there's major disruption at Dartford, the alternative route for freight is round the M25 via Heathrow, adding an extra 2 hours to journeys.
It's hoped the new tunnel from near Gravesend will reduce disruption at Dartford.
Kent Online News.
Plans for a 24-hour McDonald's in Dover have been approved for a second time. An application for the site next to the ruins of St James's Church was sent back to the planning committee after concerns were raised about its proximity to a school and a retail park. But it's been voted through again, with local bosses saying it will bring jobs to the area. We've not been told when it's expected to open. A campaign is underway to stop bosses in Sevenoaks from selling green space to a social housing provider. The public were only given 2 weeks to consider the proposals for Small Grains in Forcombe and submitted 76 objections. 8 homes could end up being built on the land, as well as additional parking. The proposals will go under consideration next month. An overspend of almost £1 million by Swale Council has been blamed on a shortage of planning officials. The authority spent £902,000 more than anticipated on managing and assessing planning applications in the past year. Officials say the outlay was largely driven by the cost of using interim staff combined with a drop of income levels. Now, we're being warned about the dangers of loneliness, as research shows feeling isolated can be as bad for our health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Hannah Perkin is from Swale Council. They've been putting on roadshows to tackle the issue. She says there are several misconceptions that need addressing.
The One Swale roadshows are monthly events that bring together community organisations, community support networks, volunteers that all aim to kind of help people that live within Swale. So over the last year or so, we've helped over 3,500 people in Swale with various different issues such as the cost of living, loneliness, as mentioned, drug abuse, general help with their well-being. And this particular one is falls in Loneliness Awareness Week. So Swale are partnering with the Marmalade Trust, which is a specialist volunteer organisation that deal with loneliness. There's quite a lot of evidence to say that loneliness can be as harmful for our physical and mental well-being as smoking. So it's a real problem, and we are seeing kind of progressively more and more people feeling lonely and being able to say that they feel lonely. So what the event is about is really about empowering people to understand that that's a normal physical human reaction to situations, but also if it's causing people to be upset or if it's causing a negative impact on their mental well-being, to reach out to organizations that can support them, and also, you know, be open about speaking about that experience, because it's something that lots of people go through. So it's about empowering people, but also making sure that if they do need any additional support, they're able to access it.
I think when we talk about loneliness, I think it's a common misconception that really sort of elderly people get lonely. You know, they're alone in their homes, maybe their mobility isn't great, but loneliness is really something that affects people of all ages, and it's increasingly becoming more common within younger generations.
Yeah, that's right. It is seen as something that predominantly impacts older people, and obviously there will be lots of older people that are lonely, especially those that are struggling with kind of significant physical needs as well and long-term illnesses. But there is more evidence to show that actually 16 to 24 year olds are where the majority of loneliness is within society at the moment, and particularly it impacts young women. So I think it's something that we would be really keen to look at, partnering with schools as an example to look at how that can be combated. But we hope that we're able to access as many kind of demographics as possible with the roadshows, just so that we're able to bring everybody together so that they can understand that it is a problem that we all face, but it's a problem that we all face together. And actually, if we can all understand it a bit more, then we can, as you know, not just as a council, but as a kind of wider community, we can put things in place to help people.
Kent Online News.
Year 11 students at a school in Gillingham have paid tribute to their classmate who's been left severely brain damaged in an accident. 15-year-old Jack Dolan couldn't attend the leaver ceremony at the Howard School. He suffered catastrophic injuries after jumping off a pier in Margate last June. During the event last week, they held a standing ovation to honour his bravery as he makes a remarkable recovery. Families say they've been left disappointed after attending a monster truck event in Thanet. Motorfest was on at Manston Airport over the weekend. Video on our website shows a truck failing to drive drive over a line of cars, we've asked the organisers for a response.
Kent Online News.
Year 11 students at a school in Gillingham have paid tribute to their classmate who's been left severely brain damaged in an accident. 15-year-old Jack Dolan couldn't attend the leaver ceremony at the Howard School. He suffered catastrophic injuries after jumping off a pier in Margate last June. During the event last week, they held a standing ovation to honour his bravery as he makes a remarkable recovery. Families say they've been left disappointed after attending a monster truck event in Thanet. Motorfest was on at Manston Airport over the weekend. Video on our website shows a truck failing to drive over a line of cars. We've asked the organisers for a response.
Kent Online Sports.
Taking a quick look at golf now, and former Premier League footballer Jimmy Bullard will be among those taking part in qualification for the Open Golf Tournament in Kent next week. The 46-year-old is going to be involved in an event at Rochester and Cobham Park. He recently finished 14th in an international golf competition in Greece. And in football, Gillingham striker Ashley Nateson has been released by the club. He spent last season on loan with Sutton United and has now signed a one-year deal at the National League club. The 30-year-old joined the Gills from Crawley 2 years ago and scored 3 goals in 34 appearances. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.